Up and More, airing right now on HD2. For more information, go to WGTD.org or dial 564-3030.
I'm Gregory Berg, and on Monday's morning show here on WGTD, we're going to be kicking off National Health Center Week by speaking with three staff members from the Kenosha Community Health Center and finding out what exactly they offer to the community. Support for the morning show comes from Carthage College, holding an information session about the school's bachelor degree program for adult learners on Wednesday evening, August 13th. To register, call 551-6300 or visit carthage.edu/adult/calendar.
You're listening to WGTD HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. This is Technology Matters, a show for the casual and non-professional computer user and gadget user, which airs on the third Saturday of the month. The show is hosted by Gateway IT instructor Christine Lazaro, an experienced computer and high-tech gadget user. And also Dave Snedeker, a former IT graduate from Gateway Technical College and a resident of Kenosha, now living in San Diego. As new gadgets, computers, and any of the other high-tech products hit the marketplace, for many of us, it all becomes a blur. Here on Technology Matters, Christine Lazaro wants to cut through all the hype and give you the real scoop on these new products. And now here are Chris and Dave for today's show.
And good morning, everybody. It's Chris.
And Dave.
And we are ready to talk about a bunch of stuff. Oh, I'm sorry. I got a little high on that one. Got excited. As regular listeners know, about this time of year, we do our back-to-school tech kind of discussion. So we are going to do some of that, time permitting. But first and foremost, we want to talk about the new Facebook Messenger app and what it means for mobile users.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting in a bad way. What they're doing for sure for Android and iOS or iPhones, iTouch, etc.
And Windows Phone too.
Oh, and Windows Phone?
Windows Phone, yeah.
People use Windows Phones? I mean, they are forcing everyone eventually to use a separate Messenger app for Facebook. Right now, you should have got an alert warning and an email. Eventually, you're going to get a 2-week warning, and then they're just going to disable it and say, hey, if you want to message someone on Facebook on your mobile device, you have to download the separate app.
Yeah. So, and on the surface, it sounds good, because then if you just want a message, and I have to wonder how many Facebook users, especially mobile users, tend to use that as a messaging service. So, again, on the surface, it sounds like a really great deal. But when you start digging into it a little bit deeper, there are some concerns.
Well, I'm not sure it's a good thing in general, because as you use a mobile device more and more, you can do a lot, mm-hmm. but you can do one thing at a time. So if I'm in my Facebook message, I can look at my status updates, I can look up kitty pictures and whatever, and I can message people. But if I have this other app, what they did is they put a hot swap button in. So you'll have to hit a button, and it'll switch to the other app. But then you're going back and forth. It's counterintuitive. I'm not sure exactly why they're legitimately doing it. They're saying that people who use the Messenger app or Type app get their messages 20% faster, yay, corporate America. The other reason is they're saying it's a subpar experience, and the only way to update it is to get this other app. But I'm not really seeing it. I'm not understanding why. There are a lot of privacy concerns. Part of it is popping up because of the way that permissions are given for the Android version. It's doing scary things like asking for access to your contacts, your phone numbers, being able to use your camera at any time. A lot of scary stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's, and you know, along with that, there's some concern about it being always on, and anybody that's got an Android phone knows that sometimes when these apps are always on, it can really drain your battery down.
Oh, yeah.
Tremendously. Plus, there's the storage concern. If you happen to have a phone that doesn't allow for an additional SD card, and if you install, you know, a lot of apps, you know, that can take up space. And here's one more. I did a quick Google search this morning and looked at some of the reviews from people. And there were people that said that in order to, you know, install this, they had to actually remove some other things.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the three levels of concern. You've got the privacy. And if this is something that you're thinking about doing, you definitely want to read the privacy policies before you even think about installing it. One of the other things is that the Facebook Messenger app is, and I haven't done it yet, so, you know, I don't know if it does or not, but one of the things that is out there is that it also reports your phone number. I don't want my Facebook contacts, if you will, I don't want a lot of them knowing my mobile phone number. And that's another thing, you know, how does this integrate with the whole Facebook privacy? I have my Facebook privacy pretty locked down so that friends of friends can't see any of my stuff. So only my friends, and I even lock it down to where, you know, I category some of the people on my Facebook as acquaintances,
mm-hmm.
and they can't see stuff on my Facebook. So now all of a sudden, does this, you know, does the privacy from Facebook transfer to the Messenger privacy? I have, you know, I don't have a lot of people on my Facebook, but, you know, there are some people that have, you know, hundreds of people on their Facebook because they friend everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Now does that, you know, transfer to the Messenger, and then all that hundred and some people and even more can get your phone number?
It's unclear. And again, what are they doing with all this information? Are we going to start getting advertisements via phone because we have mm-hmm. it on our Facebook? The bigger question, I'm sure they have many, many lawyers about this, is European laws for privacy are a lot stricter than American.
Right.
Are we going to get conflicting apps? Can I not message someone because maybe eventually they'll get overturned in Europe and not be able to use it? It's really weird. The good thing is you can still use the Facebook website on your phone.
Right.
Your phone supports it for now. Unfortunately, that would be really easy for them to switch.
Yeah.
I think it's really just a business decision. There's been some big news of a lot of standalone messaging apps selling for billions of dollars for mm-hmm. just like I think WhatsApp was one that was that was bought by Facebook for $19 billion.
There you go.
And there's other ones like Line and some other ones. They're just a standalone messenger, and they're getting a lot of traffic and a lot of attention because they have a huge user base.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of just corporate people who are taking interest in that, and like, why don't we have that?
Right.
I think
right.
that's where this is coming from.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's interesting. One of the other things is, okay, so if I, lots of people friend corporate Facebooks. So if I've, you know, friended or liked a particular corporate Facebook, do they now have access to my cell phone? And all of a sudden, am I going to start getting robocalls on my mobile device?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, that's one of my biggest concerns, because I get enough of them on my home phone. And yes, I still do have a home phone. Haven't, you know, disconnected that cord yet. Am I going to start getting all of these calls? And yes, there is a do not call list for mobile phones. There's a do not call list for home phones. But as anybody that has one of those knows, those do not call lists don't work because of the ease in cloning phone numbers. And, you know, let's face it, those foreign entities, I mean, how many calls? Well, you don't have a home phone, and I don't know if it's hit the mobile phone market yet, but I get at least 3 calls a week from the person about my Windows being broken.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You
know, is it that bad?
It's that bad. And, wow. I can block them. You know, both my phone and my phone provider have a block list, but they just change their phone number. And so now all of a sudden with this new messenger app and the fact that now it's publicizing your, you know, cell phone, is it all of a sudden now going to publicize that phone number to where I'm getting those on my mobile phone?
Well, there's that. And because it has access to your address book, mm-hmm. it could be calling other people on there.
Yes, yes. So now all of a sudden we've turned our mobile phones into a spam bot. I mean, this is really kind of a scary thing. I think Facebook is making a big, big mistake here. And I think they're going to find that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be uninstalling their Facebook app. And as you said, using it through the browser as long as that can be done.
Yeah, and they're really just doing multiple things like this. Something else that kind of made the news, which isn't as big, and I'll go into that why in a moment, is they did a seeker behavioral study by changing the way messages were posted. For example, if they put things that are kind of like make you feel down or depressing, mm-hmm. that would make your day more depressing because you're seeing all this depressing stuff. But if they post sure. something that makes you happy, then your day is happier. But they were editing a lot of messages, and they didn't tell anyone about this. It wasn't in terms of service, wasn't an alert. It was just literally a secret experience. It was a big thing, and various governments are looking into this. But it really didn't affect – it's not in the news as much because – Facebook is mainstream, and Facebook messaging is more mainstream. It's probably the default in your communication method for a lot of people that aren't tech savvy. And that sure. traffic is getting a lot more attention.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and to me, in a certain respect, it doesn't – I mean, it makes sense because in order to use your – the built-in text messaging for your cell phone, people have to be in your cell phone book. So this is just another way of having a contacts list that you may not have, you know, those people's cell phones. So I think that what's going to happen is people that want to message people on a regular basis, it's either going to force them to add them to their cell phone contact list, which some already do, you know, sharing phone numbers. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this, but I think it's going to really, truly backfire on Facebook.
Yeah, a lot of people have been looking for a reason to uninstall or stop using it, and this could be the final straw for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, because we just kind of, you know, did this as a fly, I think next month we'll talk about some alternatives to that messaging service that can be installed that don't have such privacy concerns. Mm-hmm. There's one called Line, and I don't know anything about it, but you know, maybe we could do something like that as well.
Yeah. You know. And the interesting thing is there are many alternatives, and including just using iOS. But the good thing about these other ones is they're just cross-platform. So it doesn't matter what type of device you're using.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think for our listeners, our biggest advice right now is, number one, don't use it. Number two, if you really want to use this, use it with caution. Do be aware that there are these privacy concerns, and until Facebook addresses those, I would be real hesitant.
Yeah. The other way is there is some older versions of the Android operating system that use an older version of the Facebook app, which mm-hmm. they aren't doing updates for as of now.
Mm-hmm.
So that is another way of working around it. I'm not sure if it works the same for iOS, if you can use like an old iOS version. But that's mostly like the older iOS, like the original iPhone or the first generation iTouch. I'm not sure if it's going to work for those. But again, it's really easy for them because they're doing this and they're forcing it at people is they can go back and they do some code and they can just block it at that point.
Right.
And if they're going to force it like they are on these people, well, everyone, which is really, really just aggressive, I don't see why they would stop being aggressive in other methods and plugging the holes.
True. So, okay, well, that was a little on the depressing side. Let's talk, while we've still got a little time left, let's talk about some really cool back-to-school tech gadgets. And some of these are hardware-oriented, but I want to start with the software apps because, Dave, I really got to give you props this morning. I was looking at some of the apps for back-to-school things, mm-hmm. and I tell you, I'm half tempted to get some kind of an iOS device because there are some really, really cool school apps that are only available on iOS. Some of them cross over to Android, and I think some of these will ultimately. But one of them, for example, that's only available iOS right now, mm-hmm. Cliff Notes. And if you're as old as me, you remember the old Cliff Notes books that you could go to the bookstore and buy. Well, this is really cool, and it has an audio plot summary, so you can listen to the, summary of your book while you're running with your iPad or iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
The
nice thing that Apple's been doing for a while now is they try to get iOS into the school, either just literally getting tablets or touches into students' hands, or just support for software for education. And there are a lot of schools now that it's just either part of things that you have to buy as a school supply, or that they're checked out to the students via a library or something.
Yeah. And some of the other apps that I found, this one I really, really love as an instructor. It hasn't been updated in a long time, which is kind of typical, for a free app, but it's called Studious. And it's an Android app. It's a calendar. You plug in your classes. What I really love about it is it will auto-silence your phone when it sees the calendar that you've got a class and a lecture during this particular time.
Oh.
And as an instructor, that is just awesome because I cannot tell you how many times I've been in the middle of a discussion and all of a sudden, and I tell my students this, I get easily distracted if your phone goes off. It's going to take me a few minutes to get back into the swing of things. Not really. It takes maybe a couple of seconds. But I love that one.
I recommend just – I would say just turn your phone off when you're in the class. But unfortunately, for the better or worse, it's become so entrenched in our lives. I mean,
right.
Because before I had to pull my schedule on my phone, or I could pull up my email, my assignments, my notes. I can literally just do everything on my phone for college.
Yeah.
So it's not as easy as it used to be just to turn it off.
Right. Or to silence it. Yeah. So another one that I thought was really cool, Study Blue. This one is available iOS, Android, and online for PC users. But Study Blue is a flashcard maker. So if you and the other cool thing about Study Blue is if you don't and it's real easy to make the flashcards, but it'll also go out and search. So if you type in a particular subject like anthropology or something like that, it'll go out and search if there's any flashcards available for that particular topic. I thought that was cool.
That's kind of cool. One that I do recommend that makes things a lot easier, especially for group projects, is Dropbox.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, 'cause that way, what it is, it's literally an app that creates a folder on your computer, and then anything you put there is put on the cloud. And then you can give permissions for people to edit it or grab a copy or put stuff in a folder. So you can put stuff on your computer, and then when you go to school, you can sign the Dropbox and grab it, or you can grab it off your phone, or however you're going to do it. It's really nice.
Oh, absolutely, positively. Yeah, and you can send that link to that shared folder, you know, via email. It is the most awesome sharing thing for that. I also have to mention the Office 365 for students. One of the reasons I have to mention it, it is now made Office available on any platform, whether it's an iPad, an Android device. It's $79.99 for 4 years with 1 terabyte of OneDrive storage.
Wow.
Yeah, so, and it comes with basically every Office app that you can think of. So really, really cool. If you are willing to spend that amount of money, you know, you can still get your OpenOffice for free. iPad, iOS users, there's also an app there. But if you're still stuck in a Microsoft world or your instructor is insistent on it, that's not a bad price for, you know, 4 years that you can then use on any tablet.
Mm-hmm.
So...
yeah, since you're typing or using tablets more often these days, especially if you bought or are using one for school, definitely look into Bluetooth keyboards. Probably not a full size, but any size can make it typing a lot easier.
Yeah, because, you know, those soft keyboards, the ones that come on the device, can take off an awful lot of room, you know. Yeah. And the nice thing about a Bluetooth, it's not attached, so you can just whip it out. And make sure you do test it, because sometimes the connectivity on some of the cheaper ones is a little bit, you know, not so great.
Kind of get what you pay for.
Absolutely, positively. This is a cool one. There is a website out there called Dormco, DORMCO.com. And they have an awful lot of dormitory kinds of things, chairs and stuff. But they sell, and I thought this was cool, it's an ultra-long cell phone power cord. It's 10 feet long.
10 feet?
10 feet.
How much?
$19.99.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all. And for an additional $3.95, now that plugs into your computer, so that's a USB recharger. But for an additional $3.95, you can get the wall plug. I thought this was great, because how many times are you sitting there using your smartphone and the battery's dying and you have to charge it so you can't use it anymore, or you have to stand there and use it? You know, 10 feet, you can lay on the couch and still charge it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was cool. You know, especially in a dorm room where a lot of times you have bunk beds and stuff. So now you're sitting on the top bunk and you can still be charging your phone and have it right there next to you. So that one I thought was pretty awesome.
Yeah, or even because most people I know these days plug in their smartphone and put on a nightstand, but then you kind of have to lay on your side if you want to tap on it. So you
kind
of like lay comfortably and tap on it, but
be
careful of the cord.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's another really, really cool one. This is the Power All Portable Power Bank and Car Jump Starter. It's about the size of a removable hard drive. It's $130, so it's a little, you know, on the pricey side. But it's got 2 5-volt USB ports, 8 adapters, a built-in flashlight, and enough power to jump start a car.
Wow.
Yeah, so stick it in your book bag or your trunk, and, you know, you can charge up your phones and all of that kind of stuff. And if you have to, you can jump start a car. It will not jump start things that require, you know, like a lot of motorcycles that have fuel injection. They need a minimal charge to start, but it does work with an awful lot of cars. So I thought that was kind of cool.
That is kind of cool, especially for Wisconsin. I mean,
yeah.
If you don't already have jumper cables in your car as is, welcome.
Yeah, absolutely, positively. So, okay, so we're getting a little short of time. So we'll make sure and next month, we'll find you some alternatives to that Facebook Messenger, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of these other cool gadgets that we found. So, Dave, you got anything else?
Not this time.
Okay, so everyone have a wonderful rest of the weekend, and we'll see you next month.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
You've been listening to Technology Matters, hosted by Gateway IT instructor Christine Lazaro and Dave Snedeker, a graduate of Gateway Technical College's IT program. For more information on Technology Matters, please go to the WGTD.org website and click on Talk.
Smooth Jazz returns to Kenosha Saturday, August 16th with Harbor Park Jazz and Blues. Headlining is Jazz Funk Soul, sax man Everett Harp, keyboardist Jeff Lorber, and guitarist Paul Jackson Jr. Tickets at MahoneFund.org and at Tanuta's Deli and Andrea's Gifts. Proceeds benefit the Mary Lou and Arthur F. Mahone Fund, promoting educational and career opportunities for all students and healthy lifestyle initiatives. Harbor Park Jazz and Blues, August 16th, a supporter of WGTD.
I'm Gregory Berg, and on Monday's morning show here on WGTD, we're going to be kicking off National Health Center Week by speaking with three staff members from the Kenosha Community Health Center and finding out what exactly they offer to the community. Support for the morning show comes from Carthage College, holding an information session about the school's bachelor degree program for adult learners on Wednesday evening, August 13th. To register, call 551-6300 or visit carthage.edu/adult/calendar.
What's the NPR show that celebrates kids who dream big?
Well, my dream is to play Rhapsody in Blue with an orchestra.
I want to have a music studio in Italy.
I want to play in a major symphony.
I'm pretty much going to solve the theory of everything.
It's From the Top, the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. Join me, Christopher O'Reilly, for NPR's From the Top.
From the Top is heard every Sunday night at 8 here on WGTD HD and is a service of Birchwood Foods, a Kenosha family business since 1935.
'24/7 Jazz on WGTD HD2. Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more, airing right now on HD2. For more information, go to WGTD.org or dial 564-3030.
This is WGTD HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. NPR News and classical music on your gateway to public radio. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local and national educational issues. Education Matters rotating co-hosts are Dr. Dwayne Olson, retired member of the Teacher Education Faculty at UW-Parkside, Sandy Jacoby, retired Kenosha Unified School District journalism teacher at Tremper High School, John Nicholson, a retired Racine Unified School principal, and Dr. Steve Brown, former professor of educational leadership at Northeastern Illinois University and former Salem School Board member. He is currently a full-time producer here at WGTD. And now here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. Welcome to Education Matters. My name is John Nicholson. I am sitting in the library at Park High School with the activity directors of Case High School and Park High School and Horlick High School. I would like them to introduce themselves right now and give us a little introduction about what led them to their role that they presently have. Let's start with Bill.
Bill O'Malley, I was been teaching the district for about 10 years. Then last year, 2013, I had the opportunity to enter into the AD position, and really just found the opportunity to reach out to more kids. Really loved the classroom, loved the connections I made with the students in the classroom, but felt only connected to 120 kids in the classroom each year. Within this position, I could possibly connect to 1,700 kids, and, you know, hopefully make.